Ladies and gentlemen, the three knockdown rule brought to you by Hustler Casino is in effect. I'm Steve Kim, joined by my co-host, Mr. Mario Lopez. We have a very special in-studio guest.
So that's the kind of day it's going to be today. Mario, no moniker, Lopez today. Yes, the special guest, Mr. Rudy Hernandez. What's going on, my man?
Yes, the most blunt, honest man in boxing. He's going to chop it up with us. Before we get started, we want everyone to know this podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino, located just 15 minutes from downtown LA. During the last Monday of the month, if you play No Limit Hold'em, you can win a chance to play on the award-winning live stream show Hustler Casino Live. The lucky player will be staked $5,000 to play on the live stream. The winning player must stay through the duration of the whole stream. Stop by and play all your favorite games at Hustler Casino or check them out online at hustlercasino.com. All right, Rudy, we got so many things to talk to you about, but let's get started with you a little bit. I think, would you say that you're still best known for being the brother of Chicanito, Genaro Hernandez?
Good question. No, I think I'm mostly known for being the jerk that says what first comes to mind. And so being honest is it's issues in today's society. And so, yeah.
It's refreshing, though. Can I tell you, it's refreshing to hear someone just be candid and keep it real. Real quick, though, your brother was cool, man. I mean, awesome, a hell of a fighter, but just a really cool dude, too, whenever I had the chance to kind of hang out with him. So, obviously, he's resting in peace right now, but that was a great guy.
Well, to this day, I believe that God took the wrong one, and he was a nice one. He was a nice guy of all of between us, my brothers and I. He was a nice one.
So. God takes the good ones first, they say.
Yeah, what a sucker.
Rudy, I remember I first met you guys when I got into this business in 1996 to 97. There was a gym called LA Boxing. It was located right adjacent to the Olympic Auditorium.
Yeah, I was at that gym a long time.
Yeah, for about 3 years it was buzzing. Shane Mosley was there. Yeah. Hector Lopez was there.
How long were you there, Rudy?
We were there from the day it opened. And it was the greatest moments of our boxing career at that time. Because you had up-and-coming Shane Mosley who was... you know, coming up from the amateurs and just turning pros, and you had all kinds of champions and contenders working out there. It was great.
And Rudy, you've made it clear you guys had a love-hate relationship, though, didn't you, when it came to being a trainer to your brother?
Of course. And you know what I didn't know this, but right now it comes to mind that I came in as a coach right from the get-go and not a trainer. Because there's a difference, and this is something I've said many times. There's coach, trainers, and assistant trainers. They're no freaking teachers or professors. Right? That's schools, and that's a different place. But in the sports, it's coach, trainers, and assistants. And I came in as a coach for my brother because I've been in his shoes. I was a fighter, and I know what it's like, the sacrifices that a fighter goes through, what he's been through, and, you know, and things that happen in life, you know.
So, for those who may not be familiar, how would you define a coach and a trainer then?
A coach is a guy he's the shot caller. He's the one that's telling you what you need to do and how to do it and how to go about it. A trainer is the assistant to the coach. I mean, he can train the fighter and the assistant, well, you know, he's right. The guy that's helping out. But a coach will be the one that will correct you and make sure that you're doing the things properly and well and right.
Strategist.
Yes. Now, in today's world, there's maybe a couple coaches in boxing because they're all trainers now. Why? Because they answer to the fighter. They don't want to lose that payday. And I don't care about whether if you come or not. It's on you. And if I don't give a fuck if you're paying me, I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability and make sure that I bring out the best in you. And that's your responsibility and to show up and be on time. If you're not, then that's on you and I'll walk away. I don't have a fucking problem with. And one thing that I'm grateful for is that I was born poor. So being broke don't mean shit.
So, Rudy, what exactly was the issue, the clashes that you had with Genaro? What were they about?
I would tell my brother, okay, here's an example. You know, okay, Genaro, do you want to do two rounds or you want to do the six? What am I going to fucking do six? Okay, then don't kick his fucking ass and just work with him. Or else he's only going to give you two damn rounds and he's going to walk out. And I don't blame him because you're a fucking idiot. You're supposed to fucking fight the day of fights, not at the goddamn gym. And you've always been a goddamn gym fighter.
Hmm. And that frustrated you. You thought Gennaro was better in the gym than in the actual fight.
If you ever saw, anybody who ever saw my brother train with Shane Mosley and a few others would tell you that, damn, man, people would stop to watch their sparring because you had an up-and-coming guy, and then you had my brother was a world champion at the time, and they would beat the shit out of each other in the ring. But come fight time, my brother was a hell of a fucking boxer. And I'm like, what? And I would tell him, look, you little motherfucker, you're fucking cheating me. You're cheating me out of my fucking money. He goes, motherfucker. And I go, see, you're supposed to fight. See, it counts the day of the fight. When you fight there, when the public is watching, that's right. When you're supposed to fucking perform so they can keep coming.
Right.
But instead,
there's a lot of fighters like that. They end up leaving into the gym, whether they're boxers, whether they're wrestlers. I know a lot of them like that. And I can imagine it being the coach. It can be incredibly frustrating too. Yes. And then brothers kind of quarrel as it is, so that's just kind of taking it to another level.
And then there was times that people didn't want to spar with him, so guess who had to go in the ring?
Oh,
me.
No.
I used to be the sparring partner. And one day, I tell him, okay, I hadn't been boxing in a while, and then he goes, so I get in the ring with him, I told him, I said, for the first 2 days, he kicks my ass, right? But he's kicking my ass. When I say he's kicking my ass, he's fucking kicking my ass. And then I told him the third day, I go, hey, man, let me, give me a couple of more days, man, to get in shape, man. And then I'll, you know, do what the fuck you want, man. But right now, man, I'm just trying to get into this system. So he kicks my ass the next day. The next day, he kicks my ass again. So the fifth day, we're in the corner. It must have been like the fourth round. And I'm fucking tired. And I have him really close to me. So I'm like, and I'm really, really fucking upset. I go, you motherfucker. And I went, boom. Hit him with an uppercut and broke his nose.
Oh, no.
Wow.
You broke your brother's nose. No fucking remorse whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
I know it fucking sucks.
And Rudy, I don't think people realize you were a pretty good fighter yourself. As a teenager, you actually sparred the likes of Tommy Hearns, right? Among others?
No, Alexis Arguello. I'm 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
I put hands on Alexis Arguello, and it was a. It was a game changer for me. It changed my life around because from that moment on, when I got $40, you guys, there were people that were making $40 to $60 a week working. And this guy gave me $40. Well, I was hired to do three rounds at $25 for this $25.
In the 80s?
In the 1970.
Oh,
70s. No, 1977.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot 1977, of money. And so I get in the ring with Alexis Arguello, man, and I'm, like, putting hands on him. And I had people, when I got off the ring, man, people wanted to buy my contract. But and back then, there was no social media, no cameras, nothing. There was no whole lot about, you know,
just word
not
of
a
mouth.
Whole lot going on.
Word of
yeah,
mouth.
But there was a few managers at the Main Street Gym, and they were offering me money to sign if I didn't have a manager. And when they... When I told them I was 15, they're like, ah, fuck, man. They just turned away and walked away.
Damn, that's impressive. That's 15. One of the greatest fighters ever.
He was a two-time world champion
Beautiful
at the time.
Fighter.
Okay, wait a minute. He's still a two-time world champion at the time. You know, damn. He went on to be three or no?
Well, no, yeah. He lost to Prayer at 140.
He was the greatest featherweight
But he was a two-time world champion because he was a lightweight champion. Right. He was a 26, 30,
30
and
35, and then at 40.
I sparred with him when he was at 130.
Damn.
And so I got him, you know, right in the prime.
Right in his peak.
And I'm kicking his butt, man. I was like doing really well. Anyway, so I had really good abilities. And then, you know, fast forward, I'm like 22, 23 years old. I had already won the tournament at the Forum, and I had pretty much kind of retired a little bit from boxing. And I get in the ring with Tommy Hearns in Arizona. I didn't go to spar with Tommy Hearns. I went over there to try to negotiate a contract with Emmanuel Stewart with my brother. And then they asked me if I wanted to spar with Tommy. And I go, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh,
shit. So I get in the ring with Tommy Hearns. And in three rounds, Tommy didn't land a jab. He was pretty good with his jab, right? So I blocked him. But he landed a freaking right hand, almost knocked my head off, man. All I heard was like, ding.
Yeah, damn, we're in there with some of the best, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
He won the first Forum tournament.
Oh, wow.
In 1983. March 21st, 1983.
Wow, Rudy, that's impressive, man.
Yeah, Magic Johnson was there. And I used his name because I was telling him that earlier that when my brother was a world champion, he defended his first title defense at the Forum. Magic Johnson comes over to the corner and he goes, hey, Rudy. And then I go, hey, what's up, Magic? And then I turn around, look at my brother, I go, check it out, General. Fucking Magic knows me.
That's cool. That's badass.
Rudy, you talk about the situation with you giving your brother a broken nose. I never knew that because I know one guy that gave it to him was Shane Mosley 10 days before the De La Hoya fight.
Uh-huh. Is that why Oscar was able to shatter his nose?
Yeah, that broken nose does not happen, does that fight play out any different in 1995?
You know, we can't assume. Okay, let's not assume. I think, and this is what I had always told my brother, I go, shut the fuck up and stop using that as an excuse. And this is what I say about all fighters, okay, all the fucking time. The moment that you step into that goddamn ring, you're going to honor the contract that you signed and you're going to fucking fight. If your ankle is twisted or your fucking nose is crooked, that's on you. But the moment that you step in and that fucking bell rings, you permitted it, and so shut the fuck up.
Can I ask a question? So let's assume, and I don't even know if they had the headgears available back in the day.
I told him.
So had he used that, his nose maybe would have not gotten broken with Shane?
Exactly. But here's the thing.
Or you.
I told my brother, I fucking told his ass that I wanted to put, I even wanted to put a rib protector on him and put a headgear on him because it meant, I mean, this is the biggest fucking fight of your life. And so, you know, I want to take care of you as much as possible. And at that time, a lot of people didn't wear those headgears. And it was it wasn't a Japanese headgear. It was in the American headgear.
Oh, they didn't have women then.
No, they did, but we didn't.
Oh, got it.
So, wasn't imported quite yet.
It started right after that.
Got it.
And right after that, they fucking
swing. So Rudy,
we brought him
in. So had he had it, he may not have had that broken nose.
He might not have had that broken nose. And it would have been a different ballgame.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
A different fight. But
isn't that a trip?
I don't want to take away no credit of course. Oscar's fight.
No, of course.
You know.
I know what you're saying, but I'm saying, are you in generally, forget that fight, in general, are you a fan of the headgear now because of experiences like that?
Yes, I am, but I also have Junta who doesn't even wear one. But, you know, like, look, I think that you roll the dice and bam, that's just and bottom line is that you walk this walk and that's the life you're living. If you make a left turn or make a right turn, is it, you know, there's different things.
But happen. Like you said, I don't know why I don't fight, because I used to see Pacquiao wear it all the time. And Pacquiao fights with so much aggression and all that. Yeah. But I'm like, why risk it in the gym? Like
I'll tell you why. Because you got to remember that these guys we're still used to the 60s and 50s boxing and how things were done before. Now everybody has a goddamn headgear. Everybody.
And you don't mind it.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, because I know certain trainers like Freddie Roach, if it was up to him, no one in his gym would wear the bar. He's told me
old school, but that's an old school guy.
Joe Goosen's the same way, by the way.
But I know, but you know what? For the
examples, it cost him money.
Exactly. The examples Rudy just gave, it's not worth it. It didn't affect Pacquiao's career.
No. Rudy, let's go back to that fight and rewind. I thought that was funny. It was a little bit before I got onto the scene, but I remember reading the reports. The De La Hoya Chicanito fight was very heated. It was heated to the point you slapped Robert Alcazar.
Robert Alcazar. Yeah, that motherfucker was a bitch back then. He's probably a bitch today too.
What was going on between you guys?
Fuck him. I mean, I don't like fucking two-faced people. And Oscar's no different than those motherfuckers there. I mean, that's who they are. They can't help being the fucking two-faced people that they are and shit, you know? And, hey, but what the hell? Back in the day, you know, my brother sparred with Oscar just before Oscar went to the Olympics. I told my brother, but my brother hadn't been in the gym for 6 months. I mean, he was in the gym, but he hadn't sparred in 6 months because he was recuperating from a broken hand. And so he gets in the ring and Oscar put hands on my brother. And good. No problem. I never had a fucking problem with somebody kicking somebody's ass in the gym. I don't care about it. But it was like, that Oscar had fought my brother. I think it's a lot more interesting fight. It would have been a more interesting fight had he not been injured either, but end of the goddamn day, like, we can assume, which means nothing.
I was at that fight, and I remember too, and I remember Chicanito, because there was a severe nose break too, but probably I didn't realize that Shane Mosley had broke it prior to that, so
10 days, it was a...
so he has nose broke twice in a matter of... that must hurt.
No. First of all, let's get one thing straight. My brother was only like about maybe 10, 12 and 0 at the time when I broke his nose.
Oh, now, no, 3 times. I forgot. Yeah. He broke it too. Damn,
three times. No, no. My brother goes into the fight with a broken nose. So it didn't take, he hit him with a nice uppercut that shattered it. And that's what, and here's the thing though. Had the nose been broken at that moment, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
But
had it already.
10 days later.
You exacerbated.
He was in a lot of pain.
I remember
pain,
said it was like glass.
He was in a lot of pain. But here's the thing, though, man. I'm like, man, come on, give me one more fucking round, man. He goes, nah, man, you don't understand. My brother walked away. He goes, nah, man, I can't. He goes, my nose is hurt. He was in so much pain.
Yeah.
And afterwards, in the dressing room, he goes, you know how I fight with broken hands and I hit and I keep going, right? He goes, yeah, this one I couldn't handle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, you can't breathe.
But I'll tell you what's crazy, man, is that the next, we go to the hospital and the doctor goes, shit, man, you know how lucky you are? You know, your life could have been taken.
Oh, how so?
Or it could have been
fragments.
Really
affected. Fragments could have gone
in. Is that
had
right?
Could have gone in, man.
Oh, shit. Like,
he made the right choice. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, is that right?
Yes. It was like, there's a couple of,
oh
there's,
my God, I didn't
understand until when the doctor said that, you know how lucky your brother is, man, that one of those fragments didn't go into his brain, man, he would have ruined your brother's life.
Or, oh, damn, I didn't know that.
Man, damn. So I'm like, okay.
Can't give him shit for that.
So now I understand how fuck, a broken nose can be like very dangerous, very, very dangerous.
Three broken noses. Yeah. That's a mean one.
You know, your brother only lost to the very best. In his last fight, I was there at the Hilton 1998. Floyd Mayweather. Now, did you know how good he was going into that fight, or did he open your eyes during it?
I did not want that fucking fight. I didn't. I will always say that my brother always stood a chance against Oscar, but I never believed that he could beat Floyd.
Really?
Yeah. And look, back to Oscar.
Because of the style?
Okay, I will tell you this about Oscar. And I've always said this, and I'll go on record and say this, man, that Oscar is probably one of the greatest fucking boxing students ever that I've ever seen. I think he's still a shitty fucking human being, though, but I will say this about him as a boxer. And I have a lot of fucking respect for his abilities and the things that he did as a fighter inside the fucking ring. Outside of it, still a fucking shitty human being. But anyways, well, what the fuck do I know, right? I don't know shit.
Now, I know one guy that was. I want to make this clear. Genaro Hernandez has been inducted into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, class of 2003. 23 and 24. Just a little information on that. Tickets for the highly anticipated Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame induction weekend for the class will go on sale starting Wednesday, March 13th. Also in this class are the likes of Zab Super Judah, Kostyazu, Jorge Arce, Rafael Marquez, Michael Moore, Donald Curry, Lehman Brewster, Emil Griffin, and alongside one of your colleagues, Jacob Stitch Duran, Jesse Reed, and the late Mitch Halpern. It'll take place at the Orleans Hotel and Casino on the night of August 9th and August 10th. I'm assuming you'll be out there to represent your family. When you look back, your brother's last couple of years were really tough with the illness. Did your brother fundamentally change, and did you look at your brother any differently during his last years?
No, I couldn't. Because in our family, from the moment we were born, we have to be tough, because my dad was tough, and like we can't show we can't be weak, and there's no fucking weakness. We can't be just weak. It's not in our DNA. I mean, I can be weak, and when I would have traded places with my brother at that time, and died and had him continue to live. Because I love my brother and I love my family. And that's what, you know, that's how I feel and how I function.
How old was he, Rudy, when he passed?
My brother was, he had just turned 45. On May the 10th, it was his birthday. He passed away June 7th and he had just turned 45. It wasn't even a month after his birthday when he passed away.
Yeah, I remember being at his funeral, and didn't he get buried in his Taken jumpsuit, right?
Yes.
Yes. And there's a great story. You've talked about it. I know a lot of his medical care. He told me in an interview. He says, I just want to thank Bob Arum. He's done a lot of things for me off the record. That's helping awesome. Me out here. Didn't have to do it. And then the funeral. And again, we've got to give him credit. Floyd Mayweather helped you guys out with that.
You know what's crazy, man? And I mentioned this to you guys, to this text message that we have yesterday. I said, you know, like some guys fucking gold from the outside, but fucking rotten on the inside. But I will say this about now Floyd. Black fighter, black on the outside, fucking gold in the inside. Fucking great human being, man. And there's a lot of people don't understand or know about him. And I understand why he doesn't like you know, this to be said, because it's like, it's easier to defend yourself with being who you really are, as opposed to like showing weakness. And I can tell you that, like Bob Arum, same thing. They did not want anybody knowing that this is what they did. But, you know, I'm that guy that I want the world to know that there's a flip to these guys, that they're different and they don't want publicity, unlike others. They'll have the social media and everybody come around with fucking cameras and they want to show that's who the fuck they are. And they're not.
That's mm-hmm. cool to hear. That's cool to hear.
Now, you have said this, though, more current day stuff. Junto Nakatani, who just recently became a 3-time world champion, captured the WBC bantamweight title about a month ago. You told me last year, he goes, that's my best fighter I've ever had. And I said, better than Chicanito. And you said, yeah.
Hmm. Yes.
Why?
Because Junto comes to the gym to always be better. And he doesn't, if it doesn't work out, he doesn't quit. He'll continue to do it and he'll do it again and again until he gets it right. And every time that he does it just a little bit better. And he never questions anything.
Do you think a lot of these fighters from foreign countries, whether the Japanese, whether the Russian or whatever, they just have a different sort of mindset and discipline as opposed to the American fighters here?
Of course. Of course, man. It's like night and day.
Really?
You know, the respect that the Russians and the Japanese have for their elders.
Right.
And like, I mean,
it's a cultural thing, then.
It's a cultural thing, man. And here we come to the freaking United States of America, man. They used to be so great at one time. And it just freaking sucks, man, because nowadays, man, it's like, you can't say this, you can't do this. And like, it's fucking bullshit, man. Why are we weakening our fucking people?
I agree.
There's no doubt about that. When you look at Junto, what's his ceiling as a fighter? How good can he be?
Man, the sky's the limit, man. Because at the end of the day, and again, here's a guy that has the talent and puts in the work. And you've seen him. You know, like I do things. I'm not the normal coach. There's things that we do in the gym that a lot of people will say, what the hell is he doing? But I understand that in the fight, these are the things that we're going to have to conquer. And I'll go back to Oscar De La Hoya. When my brother fought Oscar, the best thing that could have ever happened to Oscar was Cholin Rivero came into the picture to teach that guy how to box, how to get on your toes, how to angles, you know, movement and you know, in and out, bouncing, getting it out. He was a freaking awesome man. And that's why I say about Eddie Reynoso, who's Canelo's trainer, mm-hmm. I go, fuck, I envy that guy, man. I do fucking envy him because he was able to spend time with Cholin Rivero. And shit, I never got to meet that guy. And I would have loved to have met him because I like to learn from those guys that, you know, because they have that old mindset. And you got to go back to like the mid-80s and below, they're not fucking mitts. Who the fuck was doing mitts? Well, and if you look at the fighters from the 1989, 1990 under, they weren't doing a whole lot of fucking mitts. Today, it's a fucking mitt work.
Right. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
and
I
it's
know.
A fucking it's, bullshit, man.
It is. It's not practical. You're right. So instead of the mitts, what were they doing? Really, like, what were they?
I'll tell you what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were jumping in the ring. Well, they warm up and they jump in the ring and spar. Fucking sparring was every fucking day. 7 days a week.
Damn.
7 fucking days a week.
That's hard on the body.
No, it isn't. It's hard. You know why it's fucking hard?
Depending on how
because
tense they go, you're right.
Fucking soft.
Well, depending on the intensity too, though, you're throwing. I mean, I guess
now,
with the
now,
that's
okay.
The thing, because like you said, depending on how you spar too, though.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You're going in there throwing chingazos all.
Did I say fight?
No, but that's what I'm saying.
I said spar.
But a lot of guys spar like they
there
fight.
There is a difference, right, with sparring and fighting.
I agree, but a lot of guys, unfortunately, that's right.
And unfortunately, now here's one for you. Masayuki Ito, when he went to go fight for the world title, I had him spar 18 freaking rounds, and he was fucking pissed. He goes, what? I go, you're going to do 18 rounds today. No, he's bitching. And I go, and then I said,
in a row, by the way?
All in one day.
Damn, that's a lot. No, but I'm saying in a row.
In a row.
Excuse me. See, that's the fucking problem with weak people. Fucking weak ass motherfuckers. But here's what it comes down to.
This sounds daunting.
But here's what it fucking comes down to. He does fucking 18 rounds. And guess what? Hey, one more. Can I do one more? Yeah, sure. Hey, can you give us one more round, please? He did fucking 19 rounds.
How many did Chicanito do in a row usually?
That motherfucker used to fight and shit. So I would have him do like 12, no more than 12.
See, that's 10 what I'm
rounds
saying. Because the fight,
fucking
that.
Gennaro was a fucking fighter. But he was the one beating the shit out of the others. It wasn't the other way around. Gennaro was a fucking great boxer.
Yeah,
he was a great boxer.
But see, that thing, I love like when the sparring just going in there, ham and egg, and I love it. But some guys don't know how to hold. If you know how to work and stuff, you're right. That's how you stay sharp.
Yes.
That's how you stay sharp. So wait a minute, going back to the original question.
Say that again.
That's how you stay sharp. That's how you stay. So going back to my original question, that when did Mitt start coming into like the 90s?
80s? Late 80s.
Late 80s. Yeah. And prior to that, they would do a shadow and just spar?
And heavy bag.
Well, yeah, I will tell you, I started boxing in 1974. And my coach, he's got to be, and no one really knows who he was. His name was Archie Grant. He was the greatest fucking boxing coach I've ever met till this day. No one knew or was better than him. This guy would tell me, keep your arms up, you know, jab, how you throw the jab and how your body is angled. And, you know, he was just so fucking good at it, man. He was a guy that knew how to start a guy from day one. And the thing is that he was already retired, a retired mailman, but he was a great coach. And now, and they get you in the ring. Spar. And at the time, he would do the mitts only to teach me how to go about it. Now execute the shit on the bag. And so we hit the bag and we sparred 4 rounds, 6 rounds.
But you did stuff that was functional. So the question is, it's not a knock on his talent or his career, because that's unquestioned. Did Floyd Mayweather's mitt routine ruin a lot of fighters in your view, or trainers or coaches?
No, that's a decision that people make. Trainers and coach, trainers and fighters, that's a decision that they make. They like to do the mitts and stuff like that. And I go, but my question is, okay, and I've said this before, I will tell you two fighters that I know that do it and have done it. If you go look at Juan Manuel Marquez hit those mitts, mm-hmm. you can go to any of his fights and you'll see
same combinations.
Those combinations being executed in the ring.
Uppercut and so
on. Naoya Inoue. Same thing. Those guys are what they're doing in those mitts. They're executing it at the in fights. And so see that I understand that.
Yeah, that's where it's right. But all that other little pity pat shit, that's not practical.
And that strength and conditioning bullshit.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Hold on. We have to take a break here. We'll be back here on the 3 Knockdown Rule brought to you by Hustler Casino.
This podcast is sponsored by Hustler Casino, located just 15 minutes from downtown LA during the last Monday of the month. If you play No Limit Hold'em, you can win a chance to play on the award-winning live streaming show Hustler Casino Live. The lucky player will be staked $5,000 to play on the live stream. The winning player must stay through the duration of the whole stream. Stop by and play all your favorite games at Hustler Casino or check them out online at hustlercasino.com.
And we're back on the 3 Knockdown Rule brought to you by Hustler Casino. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get involved with the 3 Knockdown Rule and sponsor our fine program, we still have some slots available. Please reach out to us by emailing us at info@boxbid.io. Once again, that's info@boxbid.io. Boxbid.io is an online platform that is launching soon that helps public figures and professionals in the world of boxing get sponsorships. We are proudly working with Boxbid.io as we resume the conversation. Rudy, getting back to Junto real quickly. What was the genesis? How did this relationship begin? Because I remember like 6-7 years ago, there was this Japanese kid, very young, very lanky. And you said, see, that guy's going to be a pretty good fighter. And you were at Maywood Boxing Club.
Uh-huh.
How did that begin?
Well, I met him when he came over to the gym. And he was with Mac Urihara. And so he was about 14. I met him when he was 14 years old. And he came over to the gym. And then few months later, I go to Japan and I meet up with his parents, and they wanted to send him to me, and they wanted me to train him, and I said I'd train him, and then they even said I can adopt him so that he can stay in with me and yeah. he can you know learn boxing and stuff. And I go, you don't have to do that, you know, but just bring him. And you know, and so I never wanted him to come to America, especially at his age. Not, I didn't want to, because Japanese are built different, and their society is completely different than ours. So 2 years later, he's now 16, and he's supposed to, my boys, who are, one of them is 16 and one's 15. And so they're saying, oh, I'm gonna ask Junta if he wants to go to Universal Studios or something like that. So anyway, so they're telling him, yeah, man, we're going to go. Oh, Magic Mountain. Let's go to Magic Mountain and we're going to do this. And I see Junta all excited. And I'm like, oh, shit. There you go, man. He's going to end up going with them.
Gonna get civilized now.
So they getting Americanized.
So they ask him, you want to go to Magic Mountain or to the gym? And Junta goes, gym. Ooh. I'm like, fucking awesome, man. He never put anything before boxing. Boxing was always, he was focused.
Even young.
I'm sorry, he stopped going to school at the age, I think at 14. He quit school and just dedicated he's been dedicating his whole life to boxing. Damn. And here's the results of the fighter that has always done the right thing.
Rudy,
and
he's coming back, you say June 11th, right?
There's 10 tentative.
Right, and so he'll be in the States in about 4 to 5 weeks, going back to your usual gym, Manny Robles' Knockout Academy. Yes. Is it too soon, because I know I've seen this on Twitter, all Japanese showdown, Junto against Inoue.
Oh, that's, you know what, man, I have a lot of respect for Naoya Inoue. I think he's a great fighter, man. I consider him to be the best. Terrence Crawford, number two, but I do believe that Naoya Inoue is the number one guy. Mm-hmm. The reason he fights and he executes the reason to be in the ring, he does it. And unlike Crawford will carry a freaking fighter like he did the last fight.
Spence.
He could have knocked his ass out in like 4 or 5 rounds. Instead, we had to wait fucking, 10, 12 rounds or whatever. But anyways, Naoya Inoue, he's there for the sole purpose of executing and doing what he's supposed to do.
So that fight is possible, you think, though?
We'll see.
We'll see, man.
Yeah.
I think it's... I'm already nervous.
All right, we could table this discussion because, look, Rudy has said, even though he's a bantamweight champion, that physically, the way he's filling out, and he's very tall, that his best will be at 22 and 26.
Yes. And you saw what he did at 18, and I'm like, I think that the best is yet to come. I think he's like, and like I said, man, his mindset and the way he's focused and he's showing this as he was 14 years old, man. He's a freaking badass.
That's awesome.
Rudy, your full-time job now, though, would you say is more UFC cut man than boxing trainer?
No. I'm a husband.
It's
the worst job I've ever had in my life, man. And I've been married like 30 something years combined with the both marriages. And like right now, you know, like I'm like, fuck, man, dude. I'm like, I go home now and I'm a husband. And, you know, I became a plumber, electrician, a gardener, you know, maintenance guy, just a little bit of everything, dude. Man. Fucking hate that job.
How did the UFC get into here?
You know, I'm a strong believer in doing a good deed every day, right? We all have a purpose in life. And like I said, mine is to try to piss off as many people as I possibly can on a daily basis. And I'm fucking good at it, you know, but also try to do a good deed. And so, you know, when we lost to David Diaz, you know, he's now the world champion because Jose Armando Santa Cruz lost to him. And so we both get out of the hospital pretty much at the same time, but there was only one car. I said, no, hey, you're the champion, go. And they go, no. They go, no. Hey, please. And so out of respect for the old man, for the older guy and the trainer. And so 2 weeks later or a month later, I get a call. Hey, do you want to be a cut man? I go, yeah, sure. He told me about this UFC thing. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And so, yeah, sure. I'll try it. Why not? I mean, yeah, what the hell? How hard could it be, right? So I go and I'm like, oh, shit, it's a cage. Yeah. And so it was a great moment, man. And I was watching what they were doing and I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so and when you do the hand wrapping on MMA fighters is a little different than you do boxers.
Because but those are 4 ounce gloves. So how
six
is it,
ounce.
Oh, is it 6 ounce?
6 ounce. Yeah.
How is it different as far as what
But I will say this though. In today's boxing gloves, the 8 ounce boxing gloves don't have a whole lot of cushioning inside of them either. But the MMA gloves have a little thicker sponge, mm-hmm. sponge on them, and they're. I mean, like bottom line, it's like you can. Bottom line is this: either you're a 22, a 38, or a 45, as you know, punching power, whether you have it or not, and mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you know, like who hits. But I will say the big difference is like the kicking and the elbows. Yeah, that's a fucking That's a game changer, man.
Well, the grappling, the grappling is what's
up. And when they bring you down on the floor, man, goddamn, those guys can either break your ankle, your knee, your arm.
Snap your arm.
It's a fascinating sport, man. It's so fascinating, man.
It is.
You have to... Steve, you have to go there, man, and watch it a few times.
I've invited
when
this
you, when you go you there, man.
When? Yes, I've told you.
Okay,
fool.
See,
when you go there and you see this, man, and the more you understand it, the more, oh, man, it's so fucking awesome.
It's
great.
How many fights have you done, UFC?
I've been with the UFC since 2005.
And, damn, you see, they got out of
I've been there for
What are some fights that are memorable that you think of?
Man, I'll tell you what, the ones that hooked me into it was Clay Guida against Diego Sanchez.
Oh, that was a badass fight.
Man, they beat the shit out of each other. They kicked each other in the head and they still functioned.
Those are two wrestlers too, but they're throwing Usually when you get two grapplers, they cancel each other out grappling, so you get the best chingazos. So are you a fan of the sport now too?
Oh,
hell
my God.
Yeah.
See, I told you.
Mario.
See, everybody knows what's up.
Let me tell you something, man.
Because I grew up wrestling, so I appreciate it.
Okay, so that you have a better understanding, okay, let me explain it to you in a different way. You remember there was this guy named Don King?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay. Only in America.
Well, guess what? We have Dana White. Mm-hmm. Dana White and Don King. You know what they have in common?
They make fights.
They make fights. They bring a show. They don't... And what's even better about the UFC and Dana White and company is that these guys... They put on a show. If the main event falls, nobody's bitching.
No.
Bring the next one up.
The whole card is
stacked. Bring the next one up. And then the next one comes up, and then we add another to
Mario,
the show, man. And it's fucking awesome.
See, Kim, I've been telling this about for
Mario,
a long time.
Mario, great. Our dinners at Phil Trainey's, he always says, I'm not watching that fight. But when it comes to the UFC, he goes, no, I watched the whole card.
I told you.
He watches the whole card. And so you would admit. You enjoy the UFC right now more than you do.
How can you not?
I told you.
How can you not?
This last card was incredible too.
The fighters at the UFC, man, they're freaking as humble as
super cool.
Unlike these guys who fucking the record of 10-0 has fought guys with two wins, five losses, and all of a sudden they fucking feel like they're special. Get the fuck out of here.
I took my dad to a fight first. He's an old school veterano guy right there. Yeah. And he loved it. He's like, gosh damn, because the fights were good, the pace at the event, they keep it moving. Everything was awesome. And they're all evenly matched. Every match is so evenly matched. You really don't know who's gonna win. It's great.
Well, that's one of the things. Let's get into some current events. Okay, this particular week as we are airing this show. Tim Tszyu will not be fighting Keith Thurman. I give him a lot of credit, though. He went to a totally different style. He went from a 5'8 right-hander to a 6'6 southpaw, Sebastian
Fundura. Because that's what a professional does. Mm.
You said it.
That's what a professional does. And this is why, you know, and back to Oscar the Lawyer. My brother fighting Oscar fucking changed the whole way I saw boxing. I went in that fight thinking, man, we got this. And there was just no ways we are losing. There's no ways. That bell rings. It's the second and the third round. And I'm like, I'm sitting there like a fuck, like a really dumb fuck. And I'm like, God damn it. I didn't know what to do or what to say. I was lost, completely lost. But after that fight, man, I said, never fucking again will I be in those shoes ever again. I'm going to make sure that my guys are ready. And because again, you could be scheduled to fight this one guy. And then all of a sudden, the 2 days before the fight, guess what? The guy didn't, you know, for whatever reason, you can't fight. He's not fighting. But this other guy, you're fighting this other guy. So now what do you do?
I think I know what you mean. Yeah. Because remember, Oscar struggled mightily against John Molina. And Bob Arum said, what I saw scared me. And that's when they brought in the professor.
Yes.
And that's it was a totally different guy. Gennaro.
No, I remember.
Because that version that fought Molina, I think Gennaro could have beat that guy.
Yeah, that's just my opinion. That's how I thought we were going to fight.
Yeah.
But and he didn't show a whole lot when he fought Rafael Reyes.
Right.
He didn't show a whole lot.
That left hook was pretty good.
Yeah, but no. But he didn't show because the thing is that it was, what, two rounds?
Yeah, it was only two rounds.
So the thing is that we didn't get to see.
You don't remember that fight? I don't know why I remember this, but I remember Gennaro came out to... This is how we do it from South Central, right?
This is how we do it.
Yeah,
Montel Jordan.
I didn't realize. Yeah, you guys were from South Central, right there.
Yeah, we're South Central.
I didn't know there was that much raza.
Montel Jordan, till this day. I'm still there. I ain't moving.
Yeah. I don't know why that stuck out of my mind, but I remember that.
There's another great story. Awesome, you guys are fighting Azuma Nelson, and Gennaro's boxing smooth. He's winning this fight, and I love Azuma. Love the professor. But then I forgot what round Azuma hits a late shot on Gennaro.
The bell rings. the bell rings, and he hits him like a second or two after the bell. My brother drops his guard, and he's like a victim. Boom, gets hit like in the throat, and he goes down. And then I get in the ring, and I'm like, I go over there to assist him, and I'm like, our guy who was he was a some kind of therapist anyway. So he's helping my brother out, and he's getting him ready, and he was able to get my brother up. And so I'm telling my brother, I go, come on, man, get your ass up and finish painting that masterpiece of your painting. And he go like, man, my throat. I go, fuck your throat. Shut the fuck up, man. Get your ass up and just go box. Give up that round. And he's like, oh, no, man. I go, man, can't fucking show weakness, man. Get your ass up and fucking fight.
You didn't want to. So, was there thought of just stopping it and going to the cards?
No.
You wouldn't allow it.
And then I'm told, I'm not going to mention his name He goes, quit. You win the fight. And I'm like, and I looked at my brother, I go, no, Gennaro, get your fucking ass up and beat him like a true champion. Champions are made fighting, not on their backs. So my brother goes, what's your call? And I say, fucking, we continue. He goes, all right. And I go, all right. I say, okay. And then the referee comes over and he goes, all right, everybody out. The fight's going to start. I go, no, you owe me a minute. Because the bell had just rang.
Yeah.
So you owe me a fucking minute. So I got an additional minute out of it. And Coleman, Texas?
Yeah. It was in San Antonio. I think Alamo Dome. Rudy,
Lawrence
I don't mean
Cole
you.
The referee.
I think me and you disagree
on
this.
We have that.
Is Ryan Garcia, in your view, good for boxing?
Yes, he's. I keep telling you. No. I keep saying that he's good for. Look, first of all, when you can get a guy to bring in 18,000 people to the arena, he's good for the sport because it's okay. So he's the fucking main event, but people get to see the Cole and the ones before that. And then who's to say that they don't become fans of the up and coming ones, And that's why I say that anytime that you have a guy who can bring in people to the damn arena, man, he's good for the sport.
No, I agree. I agree with you actually. And I think all the antics and everything brings more attention to the sport itself. I just hope he actually makes it to the ring. Because there's questions about whether he's going to be there or else it's not, it's all for naught.
You know what, man? It's like, and first of all, I mean, he's just expressing the nut that he is. But on the same token, man, you got to be a fucking nut to get in boxing and shit. Come on. You know how hard it is to jump in the ring to fucking fight.
Well, we'll get into that. Hold on.
Everything, man.
I want to get into that.
Ain't normal. That's not normal.
You said something to me that's one of the most profound things that I quote on various shows. But let's go back to Ryan Garcia. This is my rebuttal. Does he bring attention? Yes. Can he make things go viral? Yes. Does he create big events? Yes. But when you perform in a certain way and you have all those people and people are like, oh, that's it. It actually hurts the sport to a certain degree.
No. That's bullshit because he's only lost one time.
Okay, it's the one time that everyone watched.
No, but here's the thing, though. It's the only time he's fucking lost. And that's like, I'm not going to hold it against him because he just lost to a better fucking fighter. Now, he got hit perfectly in the liver. And people are going to say, well, what a weak fucking. No, fucker, haven't been hit to the fucking liver, you can't. Shut the fuck up.
Okay. And you know what? I also give him credit for it, too. It's not like he went in there and he lost by running and tried.
He went down fighting.
All right, exactly. Let me play devil's advocate. This is what I do here. I'll be the bad guy. What if he actually shows
you
what you're right?
Play. You always are.
You know what? Let me be who I am. So the night of April 20th. Let's say he stinks it out or puts on a bad performance.
Or let's say he fucking knocks Haney out.
Let's say Cal
Fly. I like that idea better because fucking don't like Haney. If I had to pick one, I'd pick Ryan.
Okay, but I think Haney's going to outbox him clean. You really think Ryan has that much of a shot against a technically sound guy like Devin?
So Haney, all that fucking talking and shit, he's going to run.
No, he's going to box the way he does. He's going to box the way. But so Mario.
Why don't you like Haney, by the way?
I fucking like that motherfucker.
Just doesn't like him. It's okay. Rudy's a man of many tastes.
And him and his dad. And I don't know what the house is with these freaking dads, man. Just.
Do you like dads in boxing?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you a fan of the dads when they train their sons or
not? Not those. Like Felix Trinidad's dad? Good. But there's levels to these. But like Ryan's? Jesus fucking Christ, man. He's probably and then Devin Haney's fucking father over the neck. The fuck, man? Why isn't he the co-main event? Why the fuck is they talk about being and has he ever walked that fucking walk? I don't know. But the thing is, but if you have, show us what the fuck you're made of. And the promoters should do that and say, you know what? I like this. You're 50. He's 52. Fucking let's get
so in other words, if Devin Haney fights Teofimo Lopez,
I want to see. Yeah,
Bill yes, against yes. Junior.
Yeah, I would love to fucking see those two motherfuckers go at it, because at the end of the goddamn day, I'm like, it's like they want all the fucking publicity. It's all about them.
Who's been the best dad trainer? I mean, we had Felix Trinidad. We had Miguel Cotto's dad. We had
it was uncle, no?
No, was that his dad?
Well, his dad was there.
His dad, no, his dad.
No, Cotto was the uncle, really, though.
It was uncle, but the dad was there. He credits his dad for starting.
Kind of, but the uncle, Evangelista,
right,
Cotto.
His dad died and stuff. But then who else has been the dad that's been really, like, a good,
I mean, Enzo Calzaghe only had, like, one fighter or two, Joe Calzaghe, and I think Enzo Macaronelli.
Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah,
he was
exactly.
A pretty good trainer. But generally, the dads train one guy, their son.
Well, right, you want to focus on that. But I'm saying, and it seems
Trinidad Sr. actually had other champions.
Shane Mosley's dad?
Jack Mosley was pretty solid. Power boxing.
Wait, no.
You don't let that go.
No. Shane Mosley carried his dad.
He did.
He carried
his dad. Because he wasn't able to make him better. Because he was the one that was always there. And I can say that because I never saw him do anything. Like,
So that was his talent.
My father, the same thing. And my father learned. And Jack learned, too. And, and I just said that not too long ago. I said, you know who I'm pissed at right now? That he's not a fucking goddamn coach. And he should be. And he should have been doing even more. Joe Goosen.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, fucking Joe Goosen, man, should have been.
What's your problem with Joe? Come on.
That he's not in the gym more hours.
Huh.
Because and the reason I say that is because, and it's not always just about being boxing. It's about, like, being there with these fighters. And you'd be surprised.
Just having a presence.
You'd be surprised what a piece of advice that you could give another fighter who may not ever make it as a fighter, but will take a different life that way. And thanks for your advice that you gave him. And he's a better person now.
Yeah, that's like a dad being present in his home. Yeah.
No, coach. And that's coaching the gyms.
No, right,
that's
what I'm saying. It's like a dad being in the home.
Father figure. Father figure. Or a mentor.
Right, exactly.
Mentor. And that's why I think that Joe is, but I think he's taking it away from himself and others.
All right, so let me ask you this then. We've seen the footage of Derek James. It looks like he's had enough of the Ryan Garcia experience just looking at the social media.
No, he hasn't, because he's still there.
So, but okay, is it okay with you if they just get paid to go through it? Like Joe Goosen last year went through a lot where this guy was not with them every day, was not coming to the gym. Do you blame Joe Goosen for that?
No, but that's a smart move. But when you're like, when you're young and then like, and see, here's the thing about with Joe is like, with Joe's not always there. And so like, you know what? I'm fucking doing it for the payday. And I understand that. But do I like it? Not a whole lot. But on this one, I'm okay with that one.
You said something to me that is
But Derek has other fighters. He doesn't fucking need him.
He doesn't but he's been on a pretty bad run recently. He was the cat's meow about 2 years ago. His last 18 months have not been as good. I'll just leave it at that. And I like Derek James, but it is about the fighter. Rudy, explain to me something you said. We were at the Sizzler at Beverly Boulevard, Montebello, about 2.5-3 years ago. And you looked at me in disgust because I was seeing the blues about some poor fighter. And you looked at me and you said, Steve, you're the problem with boxing, like me. Like, I'm one of the saviors of boxing.
You got a lot of problems.
Yeah, and you said, Steve, you don't understand one thing. And you said, fighters.
I know exactly where you're going now. Here it goes. The biggest problem that we have in today's society and in the gyms is that when those, look, fighters, when they walk through those doors, they're fucking fighters. They're not human beings anymore. Mm-hmm. They're fucking fighters. And they got to be treated like fucking fighters. But when you permit them to be that way, then you're just softening them up, and that's not good for them being in that fucking ring. Okay. I've heard like other people, and I had this conversation just recently, like and I like Gabe Reles. I thought he was really a good freaking fighter. I thought he was even better than what he showed and who he was. And it kind of sucks, man, because he's a nice guy. And the thing is, and I told him, I go, when people talk about like, well, he fought, but he didn't fight as hard because, you know, Jimmy Garcia had passed away. And then I told Ricky Funes, I said, Ricky, did he hold back on his fucking punches when he went in the ring? He goes, no. Okay, so then, and did he not fight? He goes, yeah. Did he block a fucking punch and get out of the way? He goes, yes. And did he go in the intentions to hit, when he threw those punches, were they bad, with bad intentions? He goes, yeah. Okay, so then don't use these fucking excuses. It doesn't, it, it's not there. Now, that one guy, remember that one guy that in at the forum, he, or even that other guy that broke down crying in the goddamn ring. That
Oliver McCall.
When he fought Lennox Lewis.
That guy, I have no idea what he was going through. And you know what? I feel for him. Because not only did he not, I mean, he, it was expressed and it was there and it was a fucking moment. He broke down. He's a human being. He wasn't a fucking fighter. Then.
All right, so Rudy, with that said, do you think with these fighters not fighting as much, and me and you have a lot of discussions about that, do you think we're softening fighters by allowing and permitting this inactivity?
You know what? And I'll go back to that fucking asshole, Oscar De La Hoya. The guy who fucking said, you know, when he came into the fucking boxing, he said, oh, I'm here. I'm going to change the sport and everything. Well, he sure did. He fucked it up. He came. And I've heard people say, no, not only him. I go, but people started following in his lead. And the thing is that fucking fighters were fighting often and they were fighting each other. And the thing is that when you, oh, A side, B side, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, man. You know, like earn your goddamn place and get going. And like fighters are supposed to fucking fight. Now, you know, maybe Oscar got a little older and matured a little bit and is realizing that boxing has gone from here to here and we're not, and champions are fighting every, what, 2 or 3 years? And the thing is like, it's everybody's fault because it starts with the promoters not fighting enough or the fighters. Like, and again, people should go back and take 2 steps back and go look at Dana White and the UFC. These guys are fighting every week. We're somewhere and we keep those shows going and they keep going. Boxing used to be that way.
Well, it's ironic because Oscar used to fight a lot very often.
And why all of a sudden he's like, oh, we can't, fighters are not supposed to fight as often. I go, they're supposed to fight.
Well, to be fair, I've never heard him say that. And I think the managers are a bigger problem. The managers today do not get it. And I'll be honest with you, fighters fight about once or twice a year. They don't fight every 2 years.
You know what I think the problem is? Honestly, I think it's the mentality in boxing in general. Everybody's trying to protect that O or losses. They take them. Whereas in the UFC, and you know, Rudy, the fighters will lose there and it doesn't diminish their value or their stock because they match them so tough and the losses aren't held against them when you're fighting in MMA.
Dana White is going to reward you win or lose. And that's the thing. And you know what? Back in the day, win or lose, but you gotta put up a fight. You know, he's gonna reward you. He's not gonna cut you, man. He's, you know.
Right.
It is great. And the thing is that we need boxing weekly. We need it going. But these guys are now like, and the fighters. And now if I had the source, a shitload of them, if I had like these guys got $500 million, right? Remember that one guy? PB bullshit, whatever. But anyways, a lot of that money, where's that fucking money go to? I'm sure it didn't go to the fighters. But anyways, if I had $500 million, I'd get that Olympic Auditorium, man, and have Thursday night fights again.
But there's a problem.
And here's the thing, though.
You got to kick out his Chino cousins.
Yeah, it's
church,
a Korean
brother.
Church now.
Kick them out. Anyways, their Korean barbecue is not that good.
Get your familia out of there, kid.
Yeah. Hey, their Korean barbecue is not that good.
I'll talk to my aunts and uncles tonight, Mario.
But here's the thing, though. And we got to go back to real promoting. Like, I don't care. You turn down a fight. Okay, end of the line. Next.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to fight, then you're at the end of the
again,
next.
That goes back to the managers. One last thing, Rudy. We got to bring you back here because you're very, very outspoken, and we love that. One of your pet peeves, and he gets on my butt a lot because I write stories about it. You hate strength and conditioning coaches in boxing.
Okay, you saw my strength and conditioning in the gym with Junto Nakatani, and you've seen my. There's not a fighter that I've had that I've done any strength and conditioning, but those guys have never, no one has ever said they were out of shape. They were always in good shape because I tried to talk to you about this one time at the UFC, coming out of the freaking goddamn, just recently too. But the UFC, I tried to talk to you and you kind of blew me off. And I was fucking trying to show you something. I'm like,
this that's the way Mario
go,
is.
This motherfucker.
They're not all nice guys like me, Rudy.
And I told him, I go, this dude, motherfucker might just fucking dog me, man. I'm like,
I would never dog. I probably had some shots fucking
No, that's fucking bullshit. He fucking did like, what the fuck is this guy? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
that's
how I roll.
And that's happened a couple of times. You've done that shit to me a couple of times.
Bullshit, Rudy. But you were confusing me.
I'm fucking telling you.
I'm telling you already. I know what I'm
full of shit. Man up and fucking own it.
I don't even remember.
I said I'm a fucking cunt, man. Wow. And I'm trying to show you something, and then I go, ask Steve Keem about me.
Yeah.
And you just like blew me off a little bit.
Mario.
I'm like,
oh,
fuck
you. Wow.
Well, you said you mention his name, I probably said fuck you.
No, you didn't. But I would have had a blast had you.
But what is your basic fundamental strength and conditioning
boxing
program?
Hit the fucking bag. Look at you guys. Both of you guys have seen a guy named James Toney.
Yeah,
that's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
and he's a bad dude, man. But he's in the ring and he's the craft about staying busy and getting in the ring and stuff. You know, like you have to stay busy and you got to get in the ring. Look, my guys do 18, 19 or 20 rounds of sparring. Big difference between, I didn't say 20 rounds fighting. Because they don't fucking fight. I don't want my guys to leave everything in the gym. Now, think of it this way. You train boxing, and so do you. How many rounds do you spar? Okay, shadow box. How many rounds do you shadow box?
To warm up, 5-6.
Okay, 6. How many sparring rounds?
Depending. My old ass, I try to get 6.
12. Okay, how many rounds do you hit the bag?
Another 6.
That's 18.
18.
It's good.
Double in bags?
Well, it depends on how many I did. You have 2 or 3.
Oh, no. Let's go. Let's say at 18. Oh, 18. You just did 18 fucking rounds, right?
Yeah.
You did 18 rounds. Well, my guys do 18 rounds in the ring.
I know.
They don't do the bags. They don't do anything else.
So you don't have them hit the bags or anything?
No.
You mean when you have them spar?
When I have them spar.
That's it.
You're going to spar. If you do 18 rounds, you did 18 rounds of sparring. And and now I don't do no mitts and no bags, no nothing. Because you're executing things in the ring. And that's why you're training to do these things. Like, now, I can tell you, do this. And then I'm going to say, no, I want you to do this. Change it up. I want changes. I want to make changes. And I want to see, you know, getting better at your craft. And that's why we spar a lot.
Mario, so one of the staples, though, that I've done this workout, this was about 5-6 years ago.
That's the one I'm going to fucking give you.
At Maywood Activity.
You blew me off.
Hey, I apologize if that was the case. Yeah, That's not my style.
That did not fucking feel sincere.
Yeah, and by the way,
it didn't hit my heart.
I can't remember. That's why.
It didn't hit my heart.
Mario, shame on you for that, by the way.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? I got you, Rudy. I got you.
And I wanted it.
Hey, Rudy, and I'm a fan. Fuck.
Now he is.
Mario, one of the workouts I've done this, and you had like Carlos Cuadras with you.
Yeah.
He'll have his fighters one day actually just do
Tuesdays 40, and Thursdays and Saturdays.
45 minutes of really hard shadow boxing with 2-ounce hand weights, those little barbells.
2 pounds.
And he'll do it different tempo, have you hold your breath. He'll have you then run,
knees.
That is unbelievable. By the third round, I'm a civilian. I'm dead. And that's one of the things that he does just to strengthen the shoulders. But that's just basically a strength.
Everything is boxing.
Do you do the 30-second rest or the a minute rest on the when you?
No,
do
I
that
do
many
30
runs.
Seconds.
Wow, that's.
But
intense.
Here's the thing, though. But here's it's all boxing.
Yeah.
Nothing else but boxing. And those 2 pounds is like
hell yeah.
You know, it's just like you're holding on your gloves with hand wraps and they're wet or whatever.
Yeah, but after a while, everything. Shit.
Well, you do that. But I don't do it a whole. You don't do it 12 rounds. And the thing is that I do the first 3 rounds. But maybe one day you can honor me with your presence.
And I'm breaking my balls. I'd love to go over there.
And I'm telling
you, wild card. It's a long drive.
And you can do this in your hotel room when you're traveling and wherever you're at.
I love that.
I'd love to learn. One hour.
That'd be awesome.
Listen, 1 hour of your time, and I can assure you, I didn't waste your time.
Mario,
hey, you have my word.
Mario,
I'm like this, Vato. I'll be there.
As long as you have resistance bands and those 2 pound weights. You have a home gym. People don't realize that. Sometimes if you look at that hotel website, you're like, okay, I'm bringing my weights. My 2 pound weights. That's all you really need.
Yeah. I got those little egg weights. I love them.
I'm telling you, man, it's a game changer.
Okay.
I think it's like, and I learned this, well, again, because as a coach, you come to the gym and I have to get you to be better and get you in shape. So Michael Barrado has a hurt right hand. So I'm just thinking out of the box. And so I just decided that I'm going to do this with him. And then I was like making it up as I went along. And I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. And so it became.
That's the rematch with Brandon Rios where he flipped the result.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
where
yeah,
he came
yeah.
up with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Look at that second fight, man. And you'll see it's a great fucking fight. And I trained Mike Alvarado for 2 months.
Wrestler. He was a wrestler. He was a state yes. champion wrestler yeah. in Colorado.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Well,
I love those fights, by the way. Those were great fights right there.
Look at it again, man. And you'll see how great he was.
Yeah, no, he was great. I remember because he looked great in that second fight.
Well, Rudy, I'm glad to have you.
He was winning
here.
Good in the first, in the second. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Wrap it up. Yeah, because I know you want to blow him off.
I remember those fights. Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know what? Fuck you guys.
All right. Well, look, Rudy, we want to thank you. And please visit us again. You are a wealth of information and probably the most brutally honest, profane guest that we've had, and we can't wait to have you back, Connie.
Brutally honest,
profane. Just being honest about it. He's proud of it. All right, look, if you want to sponsor our spine program, yeah, you don't. Sponsor our spine program, the 3 Knockdown Rule, send us an email at info@boxbid.io. Once again, that's info@boxbid.io. We'd like to thank Rudy Hernandez for joining us in studio. On behalf of Mario Lopez, Smokin' Tim Frazier, and Tino on the edits, this has been the 3 Knockdown Rule presented by Hustler Casino.